This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for joining us here on the Refresh Radio Program. My name's Bob Arthurs, and I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street. And we'd like to invite you out to our Wednesday night service. Tonight we are going to be concluding our Bible study that we've been doing in the book of Revelation. And I've read the end of the book, and Jesus wins. So want to let you know what that looks like. And I hope that you are ready for his appearing. That's the purpose of the book. It's not to terrify. It's not to make sure that people have things to talk about and try and figure out and explain and all that. The point of the book is Jesus is God. He's coming again. He wants us to be with him. And so the end of the book says, hey, if this is the way that you want to live, keep on living that way. But it's not going to get you the end result that God wants for you. There's another option, though, and that is we can repent. And, you know, if you are living the way that God wants you to live, continue to do so. Don't give up, because the Spirit and the bride have this mindset to Jesus appearing. Come quickly, Lord Jesus, come. So that's tonight at 7 p.m. We also have a kids class. We have a young adult class. And then starting tomorrow night, starting tomorrow night, 6 p.m. in our fellowship hall is going to be My Island Youth, M.I., Island Youth. We're relaunching our youth ministry. Pastor Harley Capsudo is going to be starting that Thursday night from 6 to 7:30, and we'd like to invite middle schoolers and high schoolers out to that. It will be a lot different than youth group was when I was growing up, but we are excited for what God is doing in young people. We want to be a church that represents every tribe, every tongue, every nation, and every generation. And so we are looking forward to what's going to happen in the youth there at on Thursday night. So I'll try and mention that again tomorrow, 6 to 7:30 in our fellowship hall, 165 North Grove Street. One more announcement, and that is, where tonight is our last Wednesday night to talk about Revelation, we're going to be starting a new series next Wednesday, and it's going to be based upon a book. I'm going to be having the author come and do a couple of programs with us next week. But the book is titled Exiting Egypt. It is about Moses. And I want to tell you a story before you say, well, what, you know, why would I waste my time going to there? Everybody got that in children's church. My wife and I one time went to a conference. I was going to go over and she works full time. She didn't get off until 5 o'clock. By the time she gets home, it's 6. It was an hour and a half journey. And so that meant we were going to be getting into the service after it started, and got over there and was excited. My wife normally didn't get to make those trips with me. And so I was excited to be able to sit there and under the ministry of the word. And the guest speaker, who's a phenomenal preacher, said, I'm going to take you to the book of Genesis tonight, and I'm going to talk to you about the life of Joseph. And I just bowed my head and I said, dear God, I've rushed over here. What could he possibly tell us about the life of Joseph that we all haven't already seen 100 times before? We've all shared. And I want you to know, I sat there, and as he preached, I felt like I was hearing the story of Joseph for the very first time. I can still remember that message to this very day, that God had dispatched a caravan that originated in Gilead, where there was a healing balm, before Joseph had ever left Jacob's tent to go find his brothers. The healing, I tell you, it was a wonderful word. That, if you've got the mindset you're not going to learn anything from studying the life of Moses, I can tell you, I read the book, and every chapter, almost every page, it felt like I was learning new things all over again. So hopefully you will be able to join us next Wednesday, 7 p.m., as we launch into studying about Moses, Pharaoh, the children of Israel coming out of Egypt, and how it can impact us in our life. So very real, very good. And the book is written by Julie West, and we will be having a couple of programs with her in the days to come. So today, 1 John chapter 4, verse number 7. I'm not going to read everything about this passage. I'm just going to read down for 11 verses. It says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." So the reason we are in this passage, we started yesterday talking about that followers of Jesus are people who love. We don't just love in word, we love in action. And whatever things might be going on in your mind, if they never move us, then if it never transforms us, never prompts us to act, it's really not something we believe. It's something we think. There's a difference. You can have thoughts, but if those thoughts do not manifest themselves in actions, then those thoughts are not substantial. They're superficial. They're fantasies. They're philosophies, but no action. And so today I want to start off and point out this word. In verse number 7, it says, beloved. You and I are beloved by God. He is the reason that we were able to have forgiveness of our sins. So when we're talking about that followers of Jesus are known because they have love one for another, it's because we have been recipients of God's love, and now we can identify ourselves as loved by God. Not so much that it's us identifying ourselves as much as it is we are in agreement with God's identification of us as the beloved. Okay? So there are people with all sorts of atypical, I'll use that word, atypical objects of their affection in our modern times. And a lot of those things are purely fantasy. We've got people who are starved for real connections while inundated with digital connections, social networking and things like that, but they really don't have any substance. There's not any connection there. They're just a digital connection on a keyboard across a network, and if something ever happens to the internet, many of those people have become so addicted to the electronic communications that they're really going to struggle. I want you to know that you were loved by God when you were still fighting against Him. Even while I was a sinner, you were a sinner, God loved us. It's not that God loved us because we were so great. He loved us in spite of our sin. He loved us so that He could deal with our sin, not so that He could endorse our sin. Many people in our modern society think, well, if you love me, you have to accept me and all of my ungodliness. And God says, I love you, but I love you so much that I refuse to leave you in the pit that you're in. I love you as you are, but I love you too much to leave you that way. So we need to realize that we're beloved by God, and therefore we are empowered to be able to love one another. When you are loved by God, this love that Jesus has told us about in John 13, and John tells us here in 1 John chapter 4, it's not something that originates with us. It says, for love is of God. It is something that comes out. Galatians chapter 5 says that it's the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love. And then it goes on to list a bunch of other things. And so the fruit of the Spirit is going to manifest in all of those areas. But there are many theologians that say the fruit of the Spirit is love, and it represents itself in all of these other aspects: patience, gentleness, goodness, kindness, long-suffering. And so all of those are aspects of the love that we have for one another. So I think I mentioned on yesterday's program that many people want to use Christian vernacular, but they've redefined the terms. And rewriting the dictionary isn't any more my privilege than it is for me to rewrite the laws of mathematics. I don't get to redefine the terms. And believe me, with multiple generations having different understandings of what words mean, that leads to confusion. And that's one of the reasons why we see so much spiritual confusion, is because there are people who have traditional understanding of the language, and they're trying to interact with people who've redefined the terms, and they think they're speaking the same language, and they're talking about two different things entirely. Now, it says that we are to love one another. It says, everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. So I want to remind you, the love John is talking about is love that flows from a connection and benefiting from the love that God has for us and that he has delivered us from our sin. He loved us and he transformed us. So now we are the beloved. And because of the love that God has provided for us, we are therefore able to actively love one another the way that Jesus said followers of his disciples, should be known. Okay? So love is action. It is not passive. Love is something that motivates you. Jesus was moved with compassion. Okay? So, verse number 8, back to verse number 7 for just a minute. Everyone loves is born of God and knows God. So, the more that, in fact, let me take you to 1 John chapter 3. Let me read this. It says, verse number 2, Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. So you see that the more that we see God, the more our relationship with him grows, that his nature begins to transform us to where we act like him. We respond like him. We love like God. Love is expensive. I'll put it that way. Love is expensive. And I'm not talking about dollars and cents, even though there can be that impact as well. But I'm talking about when you love the way that God loves, it will cost you everything. You say when you begin to adopt a lifestyle of love, you say, there is a very good chance that I am going to experience pain, heartache, but it's worth it. Love is not something we do just for our own desires. Love is something that we do because it is in the best interest of the other person as well. So there are a lot of people who are driven to show love to people who are hopelessly locked into a situation that unless Jesus sets them free, they would never get out of. I was driving to the studio one day and I'm an observer of people. I watched a person walking down the street, and I was surprised. I saw that their gait, the way that they walked, was a very painful process for them. But when I got up to them, I saw that they really weren't that old, that they had chosen some things in their life that were causing pain in their body. And I don't know how to, I mean, I don't know them. I was driving down the road. I just saw them. But God loves us to change our behavior because he doesn't want us suffering the torture, the pain, and the discomfort that sin brings into our life. So the more we know God, the more driven to love those around us we're going to be. Now, verse number 8 flips the script, and it says, "He who does not love does not know God, for God is love." So it is impossible for us to be in a healthy and righteous relationship with God and not be loving one another. It's impossible. Now, I will tell you this. Covenant love manifests itself differently than love towards people who are not in a right relationship with God yet. Some people struggle with that. I mean, we still love them. So I was sharing a quote about David Wilkerson. David Wilkerson was pastoring an Assembly of God church in Pennsylvania, and he saw a news article about gang members, and I don't remember what they had done, but it was pretty horrific, and he went to New York City and went before the judge and held up a Bible and asked if he could minister to those people. One of those guys was a man by the name of Nicky Cruz. He was the gang leader, I believe. And at one point in time, they got into a very intense conversation, and Nicky Cruz took out a switchblade, a knife, and he said, I could take this knife and I could cut you into 1,000 pieces. And David Wilkerson's response was, yes, you could. And each one of those 1,000 pieces would be crying out, I love you. We can only get to that degree of love, that manifestation of love, when we get to know God better. The more we know him, the more we're going to love the saints, and the more we're going to love those that God wants to forgive and bring into the household of faith. If we don't grow in that area, we don't know the God of the Bible. It's a very strong statement, but it's what it says. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. The more time we spend around him, the more we're going to be like him. So, verse number 9 says this, "In this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son in the world that we might live through him." So, you know, the first Bible verse that I ever memorized was John 3:16. It's an entirely different reality now. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Verse 17, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." It goes on and it says that if a person does not believe, he is condemned already. So you have to understand that the Father's love said, I'm sending Jesus, the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world, to actually die on the cross, a sinless death, to pay the price for my sin and your sin, our rebellion against God, to heal the offense. So people say, well, how does that do anything? And, you know, it's just an act and all of that. I remember hearing a story about a mayor in New York City, and I don't remember what his name was right at this moment, but one day he decided that he was going to sit on the bench as a judge, and there was a lady that had been brought in, a store owner had had her arrested for stealing bread, and the mayor asked, "Is this true?" And she said, "Yes, I did." And he said, "Well, you know, what caused this?" And she said, I was hungry. My kids were hungry. And, I needed food, and I didn't have any money, and I just couldn't let my kids starve." And he said, "Well, in order for justice to be satisfied, we're going to have to fine you." And she didn't have the money. And he said, so this is my verdict, and this is the fine for that. And it was a little bit of money. I don't remember what it was. It wasn't much, because back then a dollar went a long, long, long ways. And then he said this, "And I am sentencing every person in this courtroom to a fine of $1 for allowing the situation to get to the point where a mother cannot have enough money to buy food for her child." And the first person that dipped into his pocket was the judge. And I think he put in enough to pay the fine that he had just instituted. You see, when like I talked about on yesterday's program, when people only say God is love, they miss the point. They want to set aside the reality that God is also just, he's righteous, he's holy, and he's compassionate. So he manifested his love towards us during the period of time where we were still sinners. That was not only our spiritual condition, it was our lifestyle, it was our death sentence. And he said, "I loved you so much that I sent my son, that you and I might get to live," listen to this, "through him." A lot of people today are wanting to redefine love, but they're not wanting any connection with God. There are a lot of people who are actively and openly hostile towards God. I don't want you to condemn those people. I want you to pray for them, because Paul was once in that position. He thought everything he was doing, which was hostile to believers, he was actually persecuting and killing believers. He thought he was doing it because he loved God. And God said, "Why are you persecuting me?" He said, "Who are you, Lord?" "I'm the God that loves you." We'll see you next time here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."